Hey everyone, welcome to Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, and this episode is actually a long time coming. My guest and I recorded this episode last year, right before summer. So technically, I've held on to this episode for a while. However, I'm kind of glad that I did because so many things have happened for this incredible influencer who happens to be a really good friend. She has been killing it with her online-based business, running a marketing and influence program, coaching people. She's just made a lot of things happen. One thing I will say is it will be very tempting, I think, for a lot of people to say, well, it seems like it happened overnight. Well, I've known this girl for a while. She's been working her butt off, and the results that she's getting are after years of hard work. So I do hope you enjoy this episode. It is sponsored by my Money on the Mountain financial retreat for women who are financially single. If you are looking to attend a retreat where all you do is talk about single women's money, have fun, go to happy hour and just chill out and have a comforting space to talk about all things money from the single woman's perspective, this is the event for you. It takes place in Denver, Colorado in October of 2019. Text the following Money on the Mountain to 44222 to get on the list to stay in the loop. I will say that the tickets will be gone once we sell out of the 100 tickets. So I only have 100 tickets for this event. So make sure to grab yours soon. That's not really the sound I was trying to make. I was trying to make like a foghorn sound. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's not a foghorn, Michelle. Like, that is not even close to
a foghorn. Don't judge. Don't judge. It's Michelle is Money Hungry. I'm your host, Michelle Jackson, talking with millennial and Gen X women about their money. I am looking to empower women so that we are earning more, creating digital careers so that we have flexibility in our lives, so we can exercise, hang out with friends, make more money, and spend time with our children if we so choose to have them, or just travel. Today's guest is one of my favorite people ever. She is literally, she's crazy. We will say bad words in this episode. A lot of episodes I don't cuss, but this one we're going to drop some. I just know this is what happens. Just letting you know now. My guest, Amanda Abaya, is just phenomenal. She Instagram ninja, personal finance influencer, podcaster. I can't wait to listen to her new episodes as they start coming out. And author of one of my favorite personal finance books, Make Money Your Honey. Amanda, how you doing?
I'm doing good, girl. How you doing?
I'm good.
I did the little Wendy Williams thing too while I was doing that. Does everybody do that?
I feel like yes. I may have been thinking of Joey though.
I thought about Joey afterward, but it's also Wendy Williams because I did like the hand motions without even thinking about it.
I may have like spliced the two together, so which is weird, but that's okay. So for those people who haven't met you before or who don't know what you're up to, could you introduce yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Amanda Bea. I'm a Latina millennial personal finance and business expert, and I do all the things.
She does, people.
As I just said on another podcast that I was just interviewed on, I literally do all the things. So I do content marketing mostly for financial companies. I've done writing work for, you know, Bank of Hawaii, Discover, Credit Karma, all those guys, Investopedia, you name it, I've probably written for them. I've also do a lot of business and online marketing consulting. I did private coaching for a really long time, and then now I run a group program, which Michelle is a part of. Michelle is one of the students, and she rocks it, killed it. And I also, as of late, do a lot more brand ambassador work with financial tech companies, with banks, all those guys. And then I also am starting to do a lot more work in the Latinx community, particularly some consulting in terms of how do we market to my community. I mean, my parents are immigrants and I grew up in Miami where, you know, we're all mostly people of color. So how do we cater to the specific needs of that market? Or how did my upbringing, you know, being Cuban American, how does that affect my views on money? Because one of the things I've heard a lot, and it's one of the reasons I'm bringing my podcast back, is the fact that there just aren't that many Latinas out there talking about money. Like, it's just, we're not really there. There are a few of us, but not nearly enough. So I'm definitely bringing it to the forefront.
I would like to talk about your money story as it relates to your parents coming over from Cuba. And every time I hear this story, first of all, I'm like, I need to step up. And then it breaks my heart a little bit. So if you could talk about what it was like for your parents to leave their home country and then immigrate to the United States, to Miami, and what that looked like for them and how that affected you, I think that would be really interesting for the listeners.
They have really intense stories. So the running joke is like every Cuban has a story. Cuban Revolution, 1959, Fidel Castro, took over, communist regime, shit hit the fan. I had family members who were being put, in prison as political refugees. My mother's uncle ended up in prison because he was a journalist and spoke out against the regime because they were just taking people's rights away left and right. And then her father was also put in prison because there was a rumor going around town that he had a pig and that he was planning on selling bacon and that's illegal. So they put him in prison for like
3 days. For a pig. Yeah.
For a pig. Yeah. Because, you know, free markets are illegal. Now I think they're trying to do a little thing here and there. Like people will have like little restaurants or they'll have like salons or something like that from what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. But it's not anything like it is here in the US. So the first thing I would say is that I am very keenly aware of the opportunities that are available in a free market capitalistic society like the United States. Does it have its problems? 100% absolutely has its problems, right? Nothing is perfect, but my family in Cuba right now doesn't even have access to the internet, not like we do here. So I'm very keenly aware of those types of things, which I know has definitely affected the way that I see life, for sure. It's affected the way that I see money. I know one time, you know, we were in a discussion about, you know, there was some stuff going on in the industry about people who were choosing not to make money certain ways. And I was like, listen, I don't fucking understand that at all because...
Sorry.
Like,
I remember this now. It's all coming back. And
all coming back, right? So I was like, I don't understand this because you literally have access to the internet and most of the world doesn't. I feel like you have a responsibility to make as much freaking money as you possibly can just because you have the opportunity to do so. So, you know, and then you can use that money to make the world a better place. So that's definitely one area. This whole, like, I'm just going to choose not to make money with, like, one of the greatest inventions of all of humanity makes no sense to me at all.
and I want to go into how, like, what your personal finance story was after graduating from university and just kind of what happened with that and what you ended up doing.
So I graduated in 2010, went 6 months without any sort of employment whatsoever, about a year before I found like a full-time job, as in like full-time hours. In those 6 months, I started freaking out beforehand. So I actually spent my last year of college watching my roommates who were older and who had graduated a year before I did really struggle to find work. And have to move back home. They graduated in 2009. So, you know, great time. Wow. I also got really sick my last year of college, like physically ill. I had to take a medical leave of absence.
Wow.
And what ended up happening is when you're sick and you can't really do anything, you have a whole lot of time to think. And I started realizing how screwed I was upon graduation because the economy was in a dumpster fire. So I started having like really intense panic attacks because I was like, man, I've done everything right. I'm about to graduate with a bachelor's. There's no job waiting for me at the end of this. What the hell am I supposed to do? And for the first time in my life, no one's telling me what to do. So, you know, what I'm supposed to do is not an option. And then on top of that, I have no one telling me what I should do.
How did you work your way through that?
I had my quarter life crisis early. Wow. But I had a friend. So I'd moved back home, was living at home with my family, was reconnecting again with friends that I'd grown up with and stuff like that. And one of my friends who knew me pretty well, and we have like similar personalities in a lot of ways and similar sort of like life philosophies. I didn't know that at the time. I think he realized that in me, right? Like, oh, I'm going to tell this girl about something, right? And I was like, okay. So he was like, you need to read this book. The book was The Art of Nonconformity by Chris Guillebeau.
Wow.
Who at this point has written, you know, $100 Startup, Happiness of Pursuit, I think is the other one. He's got a bunch of books, but the first one was The Art of Nonconformity. And it was basically this book where he was like, you don't have to do things the way society's told you to do it. You can make money on your own. Honestly, if I read it now, I would probably think it's really cheesy, but at the time it was exactly what I needed to hear. And I was like, why is this the first time I'm ever hearing this in my whole life?
Mm.
Right? And now I understand why, you know, because society and culture tells you to like follow the rules and follow a certain path. And on top of that, being Latina, our culture also tends to be like, go get professional jobs because that's what's safe.
Yeah.
Especially when you had to flee your home country over political and economic instability. So like security is really, really important to the Latino community. And it stops us really from taking a lot of risks, but that's a conversation for another time. So I read the book and I was like, whoa. Like, it was just a new way of, like, thinking and relating. So I was like, okay, well, I can't sit here twiddling my thumbs doing nothing while I look at these empty job boards. So I Googled how to make money writing because I always wanted to be a writer. Uh-huh. And I was an English lit major. I didn't want to do literary criticism. It's just that my school didn't have journalism, and that was the next best thing. So then, which, funny story, has actually helped me as a marketer. Because I learned how to find patterns and I learned how to emotionally appeal to people as a result of that. And then also, funny story, I was recently at an event. I was at a mastermind retreat for women in finance in New York recently. And The Art of Nonconformity was sitting on the coffee table. So it was a really cool.
Following you.
Yeah, it was a really cool, like, full circle moment. And so I Googled how to start freelance writing to make some money. And one of my quote unquote clients at the time, these were content mills. I don't even know if they exist anymore, but basically you would get paid peanuts and just pump out a ton of content for very large media companies. And I was making like 10 bucks an article or something like that. And one of the, they had some assignments open for personal finance. And I thought to myself, I was like, well, I'm really terrified of money. I'm not going to go learn about money unless I have an incentive because money equals math and I suck at math.
Mm.
And that was my belief since the age of 8 when I got a bad grade on a math test and I was like, we're done. So I took the assignments because I was like, if I'm getting paid to research the answers, then I'll do it because I need to make some money. And that's kind of how that started. And then I started a blog around that same time to A, hold myself accountable with what I was learning, but B, you know, I thought it would make a good portfolio. And see, I was really just trying to get my shit together, for, as a lot of bloggers were back then.
Yeah.
They were publicly putting it out there as they figured out how to do it. And then, you know, within the next couple years, I did find a regular job. I was a recruiter. And then after a couple years, I realized that I was just interviewing people who lost their jobs all the time.
Oh, my God.
Right? And I'm like, so this whole, like, real job thing is kind of bullshit, huh?
Damn.
And at the same time, I was starting to see a lot of my friends, you know, like Carrie Smith of Careful Sense, or I'm not sure if Michelle Schroeder had quit her job by then or not, but I'd started seeing people I'd gotten to know in the personal finance blogging space who were starting to leave their jobs to do the blogging thing full time. And I was making a little bit of money, you know, here and there. And I was like, there's something here. I have to go follow it. So I quit my job because I was like, this is not any more secure than a regular job. Like, I interview people every day who got laid off the week before.
Right.
So, you know, I might as well just like go do this. You have 9 months to figure out how to at least pay for your own health insurance. Cause I was turning 26 in 9 months.
Wow.
So that's what I did. And actually, I quit my job, and 3 days later, I was on a plane to Portland, Oregon to go to World Domination Summit, which was Chris Guillebeau's conference. So that's how I decided to quit my job. And I went with the friend who had initially let me borrow his copy of that book, because he was the one who was like, you have to read this.
Okay, for some reason, I had no idea about this part of your story, which amazes me, actually.
Because my story gets longer and longer and longer every year.
Like, I'm like, how did I not know this part of the story? So I'm loving having this conversation. I had no idea about that part.
Yeah. So then, you know, fast forward to 2018, you know, there's an Amazon best-selling book. I've really branded and narrowed down into the money and business space because I realized that's what people really wanted from me. I realized that after my book came out, and I've done just a lot of really good and hard work, and it's paying off.
So for people who are listening that are positioned to, that are interested in becoming an online entrepreneur, they want to start a blog, that kind of thing, but they feel like the space is too crowded. They feel like it's not possible to make the money or whatever. What would you say to that person who feels like they can serve a community and audience with whatever their story is and with their wisdom, and what it would take to do what you're doing now?
I still think there's plenty of room. I mean, we may think it's saturated because we live in this sort of little like microcosm. Mm. But I still have to explain to people all the time how you make money as a blogger. It just seems more normalized than it did 8 years ago. That's the only difference.
What would be the first thing you would recommend someone do?
Well, are you doing this for fun or are you doing this to make money?
To ask themselves that question?
Yeah.
There you go.
Because if you're doing it to make money, then you have to see where your blog fits into a business model. And this was the mistake I did because, again, everything that we see now that bloggers are doing wasn't a thing right when I started. So do you want to do brand ambassador work? Are you going to be selling programs? Are you going to be an author? Are you going to go the traditional speaker route? There's lots of things you can do. Essentially, bloggers are just sort of like thought leaders and marketers. So you just have to kind of figure out, okay, how am I using this blog and my influence as a tool to make money? And what's the business model that actually makes me money?
Right now, we are in a time where things feel kind of up and down. Like nothing feels, things feel a little out of control. You know what I mean? Or people are feeling like things are out of control. As an entrepreneur, how do you manage your business during a time where it just feels like everything's a little out of flux or in flux, if you will.
You mean like in the world in general?
In the world in general.
I take my energy very seriously. It's actually a hard lesson that I learned again in the last few months to be very serious about just sort of maintaining my own energy and keeping my eyes on my side of the street. There's a lot of shit in the world I cannot control. Mm. What I can control is how much money I make and what I do with it. And also the lessons I take from what's going on in the world. So for example, I know, like I had to stop watching the Young Turks on YouTube, even though I like the Young Turks and I like what they've been able to do. Like I love stories where you start something from nothing and now you have like a poltergeist, you know, but they're like a political show on YouTube and I don't agree with everything, but I enjoyed watching it. I got to a point where I had to stop watching because it was just like so negatively affecting me with everything that was that's been going on and stuff like that. I've gotten to a point where I cut toxic people out of my life, like very quickly. As soon as I find out, you know, about the toxicity, you're gone.
Do you ever feel guilty about that? Or you're like, bye Felicia?
I've gotten to a point where it's a little bit more by Felicia. So because I literally just, I don't have the time. Like I have worked too damn hard to get to where I am in life to be brought down by stupid shit.
Sorry. I love that.
It's really funny that you bring that up because when I was in New York, I was there with my friend Letitia. We both know Letitia Styles. So like, you know, Letitia's African-American, I'm Latina. And we had gotten asked at one point, just like during random conversation, like, you know, like what's one of the things that, you know, you feel like, you know, your community, like what's one of the things that make your the conversations about money in your communities a little bit different? And I immediately said, I'm like, in our communities, we have to talk a lot more about this like crabs in a barrel syndrome. Mm. And like getting the hell away from people who just are not there for us. Because once one person starts doing really well for themselves, like inevitably someone's going to come in and try and bring you back down, because it's that whole like gang mentality, crabs in a barrel type thing. So that actually came up. And although I haven't really experienced, I have never really experienced that in my career because I just never allowed it. Mm-hmm. And I still don't allow it. And then in my personal life, I had a situation where like it reared its ugly head and I was like, oh, course correct. You wow. let your guard down over here.
Wow.
But would you agree that that's one of the conversations that we have to have in like community? And it's not even like a cultural thing. It's a completely 100% socioeconomic thing.
I would have to agree, because when you start to pull away, it can be a reflection. People can perceive it as a reflection on them. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with that. It's just you're doing what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And and you have to be very careful to, regardless of race, what have you, to be around people who are like-minded. And I don't care if you're a man, woman, what have you. Like when you tell people, yeah, I'm going to quit my job and create an online business and do all this stuff, it's still very random to people. They're like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, it's hard for people to even understand the concept.
It's not even that. It's like as simple as, I'm going to start getting my finances together and I'm going to start doing, I choose to have a better life. And other people are like, how dare you?
Yes.
Like, you think you're better than us now? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's hard because it, again, it's nothing to do with that. It's just you're working, you're doing your thing,
you know, and you chose to have a better life. And so when that question came up, I thought it was such a good question. And I was like, yep, that is definitely something that I find, you know, in the marketing or in the conversations that we have as communities, that conversation comes up a lot.
What is a typical day in the life of Amanda? Like how do you facilitate the work that you do? How are you making money?
How am I making money? I make money as a freelance writer. I make money as a brand ambassador, which is usually just creating content on social media or on my blog. There's other things too, but we'll just keep it simple. You know, I make money doing consulting and I make money teaching my Persuade to Profit program. I also make money like affiliate marketing and book sales and things like that. But those four are like the main big money makers for me. And I don't really have typical days. It really just depends on what projects I'm working on. So for example, the last 2 weeks or so, I was like, all right, take a step back from the client work for a second. Right? So don't go crazy pitching and all that kind of stuff. And don't go crazy with the sales calls, because you got to figure out some stuff to bring your podcast back so that you can keep adding people to your funnel and keep putting great content out there. I couldn't do that in January or February because I was up to my eyeballs in client work and I was going to secure the bag. But now that I can have a little bit of space, then that's what I'm doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think one of the things that people who aren't doing what you're doing are probably wondering is, how do you attract the money to you? Like, how are you attracting these projects to you?
Well, in the beginning, it's not attracting. It's just pitching. I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. They're like, I have private clients from, they're like, I just thought I would build it and they would come. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works. You got to, especially if you don't know who the hell you are.
Like, have a come to Jesus moment right now.
But I had that moment too, you know, at some point I had to have that moment and I realized, oh no, you actually have to have like an offering and you need to pitch and you need to write proposals and you need to sell. So in the beginning, it's just a lot of hustling. And then eventually you reach a tipping point and you've made a name for yourself and you have enough content out there where things more naturally start coming to you. But if you're in the very, very beginning stages, you just gotta grind.
What would you say to people who are reticent about that?
About grinding?
Yes, because
you probably shouldn't be doing this.
but you know what? There are a lot of people who won't even grind at a regular 9-to-5 job.
Okay.
And I've noticed I'll go into a coffee shop and there are some baristas who they take that job seriously. It is an art that they are, it's an art form that they're participating in. Their clothes are immaculate. They've got a bow tie, you know, like they're not,
they have playing. A bow tie.
Oh yeah. It's a thing. It's totally a thing. And then they've got that foam on point and you get the world's best latte. Like the service is a phenomenal experience. And then you go to other places and people won't look you in the eye. And they, you know, everything's subpar and you're just, and it's not because of the location, it's because of the person. And so I guess what I'm thinking about as I share this observation is, what would you say to people who are like, the opportunities that you're connecting with aren't there for me? And it doesn't have to do with anything with race, what have you, it just has to do with their perception of how things are happening for them. What would you say to that?
It sounds a little bit like there's some victim stuff going on, right? I've had to help people out of this. You know, they would blame the circumstances. They would blame people around them. They would blame their boss. They would blame their job. They would blame whoever they could possibly blame. And at the end of the day, it was just like so that they wouldn't have to take responsibility for their own actions.
Or inaction.
Yeah. Because when I would pry and I would dig deeper, I would realize, A, you're letting people treat you like shit, right? And B, that's not the, like, B, like, how is that stopping you from sending a pitch email? I don't understand. Like, you know, I don't know. That could be a cultural thing for me too. Cause again, I come from an immigrant family and I was recently at Hispanicize. And one of the things that kept coming up from all the bloggers, you know, which most of us are Latinos who go to that conference is like, we're just hustlers, man. We just go find the money. Like, cause we just come from situations where you don't really have a choice, you right. know? So I always saw it as, well, food costs money. So I got to go figure it out. Like that's as far as it went for me. And I've actually had conversations with like a producer for a radio show that I'm on, how that is kind of a cultural thing, how we're just kind of like, you don't really have time to be all up in your feelings right now. You can go deal with that later. You got to go make some money.
Mm. I feel like that might be a good place to end this show because, you and I could talk for like a billion years about a lot of different things. I would like to bring you back in a year.
In a actually, year.
And talk about what's going on, what you're up to. But I think what I'd like to do is just have you leave the listeners with a piece of advice about whatever it is you'd like to give them.
So for the ones who do want to start building their influence online and start figuring out the business model, I have a free webinar. It's my most popular free webinar. Michelle told me it's the best webinar she's ever seen, actually.
It's really, really
good. And you could, it's called How to Make 50K as an Influencer, even if no one knows who you are. Go to amandaabeya.com/influencer and you can get that. It's totally 100% free. And it'll teach you the three steps that I've used to sort of build my influence online. One of them, which basically pays you to promote yourself and works really well. So you can start making money almost immediately. And then it also explains the different ways to monetize. So you could choose like a business model that works for you.
Boom. You guys heard it here first. I will be bringing her back next year. That's like a no-brainer. I have some ideas of what's going to happen this year with what she's doing, and I'm very excited to share, to hang out with her in Miami and look at the Miami Vice building. But that's
I live next to the building from the Miami Vice credits, and Michelle I'm really excited is obsessed. It. Like Jessica Garbarino stayed with me a few weeks ago.
Oh, my God, I'm so jealous.
She was like, oh my God, you really do live next to the building from the Miami Vice credits. I was like, yes, I do. I wasn't kidding.
I'm like weirdly obsessed with this, listeners, so just don't, whatever.
Yeah.
Michelle, I want to be on the new show, actually. I just want to be an extra on the new show.
Yeah, well, go pitch them, Michelle.
I plan on it. It's with Vin Diesel, I think, so there you go.
Why? I'm not surprised that Vin Diesel would be the one in it. You know, between all, I'm not surprised at all.
And, oh, if people need to find you, where can they find you?
So you can watch my hilariously entertaining Instagram stories, or so I've been told they're hilariously entertaining. Just go to Amanda Obeya. You can watch me freaking out over seeing snow for the first time, and also really fun business things. I mix it up, you know, I keep you all entertained.
Follow her feed. It's pretty good.
And my feed, yeah, my feed's pretty good. And then I'm also on Twitter all the time, so at Amanda Obeya as well. I love Twitter. Instagram and Twitter are my social media bays. And then if you want to listen to my podcast, it's on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. I'm missing one, Spotify. And you can just search my name, Amanda Obeya, or Make Money Your Honey. And if you want to see all the goods I have to offer and learn more about me, you can go to amandaobeya.com.
Boom. Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, Michelle.